What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I'm your host, Krista Sellums, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
Beautiful intro, as always. Good to be back. Or is it? I don't know. I don't know if I want to talk about what's going on right now, but good to see you, always. Love to see it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's great to chat with you again.
Happy early Thanksgiving.
Happy early Thanksgiving. You know, haven't spoken to you in 2 weeks. So
never talk, of course.
So yeah, we only talk on here. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy to be recording. my vibes are high. But you on the other hand.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Just want to shout out our boy Ethan. You know, we're supposed to have a guest tonight. Maybe he'll be on a future pod. He's a little under the weather tonight, but T's and P's out, as you would say, to our boy Ethan.
Yeah, man. T's and P's, you know.
You fight this battle. You will win.
We will see you another day. Feel better. But
if anybody is misconstruing that, he has the common cold. He is not. But yeah, so we'll have a nice little few little guests coming up, I think. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, no, definitely going to try to have more guests on this year. So maybe even do a couple of live pods here and there.
I know. We got to figure out time for that. It's fucking impossible. Wow. That might be the earliest I've ever cursed on an episode. Minute 30 in.
Hey, you before me, man. That's even.
That's unhinged.
There is something in the air.
Yeah, we got to get a live pod going once we sort out our adult lives that are extremely busy and not flexible whatsoever, but we'll make it happen.
Jumping right into it. First piece of podcasting or topics that I want to jump into. Make it quick, make it brief. Henrik Lundqvist, congratulations. Clicks for the boy.
Well deserved.
Hall of Famer, officially a Hall of Famer. Insane career. He won, I think, the World Cup of Hockey. He's got Olympic gold. Vezina, bunch of other accolades, you know, Rangers MVP. Not that big one though. He's missing that one.
I mean, one of the best to ever do it, as much as, you know, never liked him obviously as an honor fan growing up, but he was a dog, a certified DAWG. Gotta give him credit, man.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like you gotta respect the man who just, you know, with a brick wall franchise for so many teams and tortured so many fan bases over the years. So, well deserved Hall of Famer, first ballot and everything. So, I didn't get a chance.
By the way, that suit was crisp at the ceremony. Yeah,
that doesn't surprise me.
That was even good for him. I mean, it was a nice suit.
You only get inducted once, so you gotta show out. So
it was also like everybody around him, like all other six people, were like wearing Navy suits, and he was like in the middle in his gray suit. It was just such a Lundqvist move.
Oh yeah, I mean, like he always is, like he's not the guy who's gonna just wear your standard like blue suit, black suit. Like he's gonna show out. Yeah, I know. I mean, like listening to a bunch of podcasts and everyone like talk about the Hall of Fame, you know, class and everything. He's like that one guy where everyone, a couple of the hockey podcasts that I listen to, they've all said like, if you have like a couple coins that would be like one Stanley Cup that you can give guys, like he's probably on that list.
Probably, yeah.
Love him or hate him, like you just feel bad that like he was so dominant for so long and just never reach the mountaintop.
It feels pretty good, but nah, I as a competitor, definitely tough for him, I'm sure, but great goalie.
Yeah, 100%. And then yeah, jumping into what has been going on in terms of team wise yeah, it's kind of like I'm very happy at the moment. I'm riding the high that is New York Rangers hockey.
My goodness.
So yeah, we'll jump into them. You wrote in the notes that the Rangers are a wagon, and indeed they are.
They are definitely a wagon right now, as much as I don't want to admit it, but I'm trying to pull up the whole league right now. Yeah, I mean, 11.
I think they're second in the league behind the Bruins.
They are still behind Vegas, but they can tie Vegas if they win their game in hand. So, I mean, It's one hell of a start for the Rangers, especially like you noted in our podcast notes with all the injuries going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, since we last recorded, they've only played five games, and they're 4-0-1 in those five games. So
I can't even have a loss in regulation since we've recorded. That makes me sick.
So out of, like, a possible 10 points to get 9, I mean, that's awesome.
Well, poor you guys. Missed the one point. I'm just messing.
I mean, yeah, and that game I didn't get to watch a ton of that game, and even that game, the shootout goal that went in, it was just like a brutal hit off the post. I think it was Boldy.
Oh,
he shot it. Yeah, it went off the post and then hit quick, then went in, and that's how Wild won that game. So, since we recorded, a 2-1 victory over the Hurricanes. That was a tough game. Pretty boring, but a tough game. It's always going to be tough against the Hurricanes. An action packed game against the
game was Wild. Crazy.
That next game, they blew a 3-goal lead. They came back. Ended up losing in a shootout. Dominant win over the Red Wings. And again, another game they had, I think, a 3-goal lead, and then it was like 5-1 at some point. Or it might have been 5-0. Yeah, no, you're right. It was 5-0, and then they blew.
They blew
3 goals. Happened pretty quickly. Yeah, and I, if I'm remembering correctly, the Red Wings scored 2 pretty quickly, like back to back.
20 seconds. Rasmussen and Klim Kostin, apparently.
And then they got that third one. And I was sweating that game because I was just like, I cannot watch this team blow another lead like this. But luckily, they were able to hold on. And then they played the Wild again at home, commanding victory the second time around, 4-1. Yep. And then
the winner of that game. Sorry, just not to break up your point about the crazy game. We lost him with the fact that Louis Domingue won that second Wild game, which is crazy that he was in net for that. I think he's the first ever Ranger goalie to play a game that catches with his right. So there's a fun fact for you. But yeah, pretty crazy that he went from eating the spicy pork two seasons ago, as a third string goalie in MSG to casually winning that game. Who would have thought he was going to play this year, right? Crazy.
And I think I said it on Chicklets because they briefly touched on it. This is like, that was like his first NHL start, I think, since that playoff series.
Yeah. I don't think he played all last year.
No, that whole last year, I think he was just in the minors. I don't know if he was on the Rangers last year in the minors, but
he might have been. I feel like
I want to say he was. Yeah, he spent all last year in the minors. He won. I think Flower gave him some tummy sticks before the game.
Yeah, two French goalies.
Two French goalies.
He was, in fact, in Hartford last year, played 45 games.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, that was his first game back in the NHL since that playoff series. So, amazing. He looked good that game, you know. And then on Sunday, in what was a crazy game against the Blue Jackets, it was back and forth. I mean, I don't like to come down on the refs and seem like I'm crying, but that was arguably like one of the like toughest officiated games I had seen in a while. It was bad.
From what you were sending me on Twitter, there were a lot of questionable moments for sure.
Like, and it wasn't, and again, like when I send you that stuff, like I'm not trying to be like, look at this, this is crazy. How do you explain this? Like, it's insane that like the biggest thing was the no goal call, and it kept going on and on and on that they were reviewing and they were talking to Toronto, and I mean it was going on for at least 5 to 7 minutes, and even Sam and Joe on the broadcast were like, this is taking forever, like why are we still looking at this?
Yeah, if you gotta look how long, it's probably inconclusive.
And I'm sitting there watching and I'm with Steph and her parents watching the game, and her dad's like, why is this taking so long? And I'm like, they're looking for a reason to justify why they're going to call this a no goal. Cause they don't even know. I'm like, cause I can guarantee you, I'm like, that on ice crew, they don't know why they called it a no goal. Because when he got up, the puck was in the net. You didn't see the puck. You didn't blow the whistle. It was like there was no justification as why it shouldn't have been a goal. But he ended up winning it in a shootout. And let me tell you,
puck on the line, man.
Alexi Lafreniere is here. He looks good, man, and that backhand was sick.
I mean, as a professional hater and loser of Alexi Lafreniere, that was a beautiful backhand. I will admit.
I mean, it was sick. He balled out that game. I was really happy to see him really kind of flourish in that game.
If he stays at the level he's at now, I think that'd be pretty acceptable for the Rangers. I mean, is he like the first godsend that people thought he was going to be when he was in juniors? No, but like, if he could be a 60-point guy and play at the pace he's playing at right now, seems pretty reasonable. Scored what, the goal with like 7 seconds left to tie it, right? Something like that.
Yeah, so, it was a sick feed. Yeah, it was a sick feed from Kreider. So it was Panarin. He was kind of up at like the blue line, and he kind of sent a shot in. It rebounded off of Merzlikins, and then Kreider was in front of him, and he just kind of like did this quick little backhand, and you know, Laf was able to pot that in. And if you see like the side angle of it too, it was a tough,
tough.
It wasn't
angle.
Like the greatest shot. It was a tough angle, and it barely kind of snuck by. So the Rangers were lucky to force overtime in that game. And then overtime, there was a big sweat, just because they had a couple chances. The Blue Jackets had a couple big chances, so you walk away with a win there. So like I said, 4-0-1 in the last five games. They look this good, and they look this good, like you mentioned before. Adam Fox isn't in the lineup. Your starting goalie, Shesty, isn't in the lineup. Hedel isn't in the lineup, so it's like you're missing some big players in this lineup, and you're still playing to this caliber. You know, it's very, very exciting. And side note, congrats to Adam Fox. He got a bagel sponsorship.
That's a good old Long Island Jewish guy. Gotta
love. Yeah, he said it as a Jewish kid from Long Island. This is like a dream come true.
if only somebody handed that man a blue and orange jersey as a kid. My God. But yeah, it's crazy they're doing that without Fox, especially. I mean, I'm looking at the stats now. Panarin, or if you like to call him on Twitter, Ballnarin, of course. 24 points in 14 games. I mean, he's really like everybody else is like, I think everybody else on the team is under, well, Fox is over a point per game, but everybody playing right now is under a point per game, it looks like, besides Panarin. I mean, he's having one heck of a year, dude.
Yeah, he's off to a great start. And shout out to him. He's tied with the late Rod Gilbert in games with a point, with a 14 game point streak.
Jeez. Is that like the most all time tied with Gilbert?
Yeah, so if he gets one next game, he's all time. At least in Rangers. So
he's gotta be close to the league lead in points. I know Pettersson, yeah. So Panarin's at 24, Pettersson's at 25, so he's right there. I mean he's having
a hell of a season. Very exciting. Yeah, Pettersson looks unreal right now. I don't know like what's going on with him, but he looks unreal.
Contract year. You know,
yeah.
There's some other universe where Adam Fox grows up as a Ranger or as an Islander fan, and Panarin does not leave money on the table, and I'm living like a great life right now. But instead, you get to reap all what you sow about the New York Rangers, evidently. So, in some alternate universe out there, I'm happy, but I'm glad you're happy with those two.
And I mean, in an alternate universe as well, it could be the same alternate universe. The Rangers were able to draft Hughes and Stutzla back-to-back drafts. So we could both be happy in this universe.
That's facts. Oh, man.
But also, I've said it a bunch on this podcast. I've tweeted it a bunch. The guy who's stepped up the most for me since like we did our preseason, like who's going to be the guy who impresses us the most. And I was looking at his stats. Gustafsson, I don't understand how he signed for less than $1 million.
Yeah.
Because he's had really good stats over the years, and he's had really good seasons over the years. And I just don't know why. He's over, I think, a half point per game his entire career, or most of his career at this point.
He balled out that 1 year with Chicago.
Yeah, he had 60 points. I'm like, how did he not stay in Chicago? How is he not like signed a long-term deal anywhere? He's kind of bounced around. I was shocked when I realized like he went to Chicago, Montreal, Chicago again.
PTO with the Islanders.
Yeah, he played for the Blue Jackets, I think, too.
Yeah, he's been
most recently on the Leafs for a couple games. I think he was even on the Flames for a bit too. Like he's just bounced around. And I just don't understand why, because from what I've seen so far, he's been such a pleasant surprise. And I've been very much enjoying him, especially because he's stepped up in that Adam Fox role. Like I think he's getting first line minutes at this point. So
what a sleeper.
Or first pair minutes at this point. So, you know, super happy with where the team is. Kako, I'm starting to worry about a little bit. He doesn't look terrible, but he also doesn't look great. He just kind of looks lost out there. It looks like he just doesn't have any confidence. He needs to get a point in the next game or two just to kind of regain some of that confidence. He looks like he really wants to do something, but the puck's just not falling his way. So hopefully he could figure that out. But overall, I'm really happy with how the team looks right now. Congrats to Mika Zibanejad, 500 games with the New York Rangers, which is insane.
Crazy. Crazy.
It's crazy that he's been with this org for this long.
That's wild.
One of the greatest trades the Rangers have ever made in their franchise history.
Oh, Ottawa.
I mean, just a silly trade for Ottawa. And we're not going to jump down their throats again. They're not the headline hogs this week, but, super excited to see what happens. The Rangers got a tough, schedule of games coming up though. Let me pull it up real quick just because the NHL app stinks. They got New Jersey on Saturday in New Jersey, and I think Hughes is going to make his comeback that game. So you're going to see the return of Jack Hughes that game. Then they have Dallas on the 20th, Pittsburgh on the 22nd, the Flyers on the 24th, and then they end November with Boston. So
Pittsburgh, tough, five in a row.
Tough schedule, tough couple games, but I think the Rangers will figure it out. The Devils will be a tough game. Stars will be a tough game. Pittsburgh's always a tougher game than it needs to be. The Flyers should be a gimme, but it probably won't be because I assume it's going to be a gimme. And then I don't know why this has kind of become like a marquee game the last few years. Rangers, Bruins, Saturday after Thanksgiving, matinee game. Those games are always classic. Like, I don't know why for some reason, these guys don't like playing each other on that Saturday. They're aggressive games. They're high scoring games. So I think the Rangers have won the last two, or at least they won 2 years ago. And maybe they lost last year. I can't remember off the top of my head. Just kidding. They have a couple more games after that. And then they have Buffalo and the Red Wings. So they have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, so they have a 7 more games in the month of December. They're off this week. I don't know why the schedule makers just didn't schedule any games this week. So they have 5 days. Well, no, because they were talking about it on the broadcast, Joe and Sam. Their bye week isn't until like February.
Gave them an extra few days off.
So they get 5 days off in November, the All-Star break, and then their bye week is in February. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But is what it is.
Yeah.
Moving on.
All things good in Rangerland. Thank you for everything for listening. Subscribe, Stitcher. Oh, God. I don't want it. The Islanders have lost 5-6 since we last recorded. Started with a 3-0 win over the Caps. Probably didn't deserve to win that game. They literally scored 2 goals in their first 2 shots, I think, because Darcy Kemper is terrible. So you squeak out of that game with a 3-0 win. Great. I didn't want to talk about it so long ago. And then they lost 5 in a row. So not quite sure what that's all about. I mean, I do kind of know what that's about, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I also just want to start by asking you this question. How many combined goals do you think Pierre Engvall, $3 million, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, $5 million, and Anders Lee, $7 million. So that's what, $15 million? How many combined goals do you think they have this year?
2.
They've won. Anders Lee's only goal for $12 million. That's what? I'm no mathematician, but that's a big chunk of your cap space. It's just not good. So starting off with the Hurricanes game, they're up 3-0. Great. Oh my God. Things are rolling. Sticking to the Hurricanes. Yeah. They lost. 4-3. They blew it. They gave up 2 goals in the third period, including one at the end of the second. Lost it in overtime. Absolutely terrible. I don't know what happened that game, but I know I was mad about something. Come in, go back to Minnesota, give him a goal in 19 seconds to Pat Maroon. That's sick. Love that. You're up 2-1. Great. You're up 2-1. And then you lose. You go 3 in a row again. So that's another come from behind victory. Then you go into Boston. You know, I thought they played okay in the Boston game. But again, you're tied 1-1. And you give up 4 out of the next 5 goals, including the last 3 goals at the end of the third period. You give Charlie Coyle a hat trick. Capitals game, same thing. Tied 1-1 after 1. You give up 3 goals to end the game. Then last night, you're up 1-0 48 seconds in. And then you lose 4-1. I think – I don't have the exact stat in front of me, but like I think they've been outscored like 11-1 in this 5-game losing streak in the third period. Something stupid like that. It's insane. It was like last year, all this team knew how to do was start terribly and come from behind. And it was like that kind of the year before too. You remember those games against the Flames, they came back, and then the Avs and the Rangers. That was a crazy game as well. But now it's like they start off good and then they just totally fizzle out. It's insane. Like, I don't know. I'm literally at a loss for words about what this team has done and has been doing. But I mean, it's just been claps after claps. It's insane. And I think a lot of it is, of course, attributed to and the great Photoshop work you did that will probably be premiering on our account soon.
Oh yeah,
dude, they got no system under Wayne Lambert. I tweeted it out; it got a lot of likes. I've never seen a team that's just like they literally just run around out there. They have no, there's no like chemistry. There's no like consistency with the lines. There's no system at all. I don't know what they have no identity. It's insane. Like you think about the Isles, it was like it's hard nosed hockey, and like even the Trotz years was like defensive hockey, shut him down. They don't even forecheck anymore. I don't know like if Lambert just goes out there and is like, okay, like, you know, keep it to the perimeter and do this, that defensively. But they have like they have zero heart right now, and they have zero system, and they need somebody that is a hard-nosed coach. I don't know who the heck that is to come in and just put them. I don't know if this group is complacent or what, but they need to be kicked into shape, and I clearly don't think they – I quite frankly don't think they respect Lambert, which is kind of a wild accusation for me to make as a fan, but, like, I don't see them buying into this Lambert system at all. Like, do you think that – like, as an outsider perspective, like, do you think the Islanders would really be afraid of a guy like Wayne Lambert?
No, it's – I was, like, thinking about it all day today because I knew we were going to talk about this, and this is going to be, like, the meat and potatoes of this podcast. And like I just don't know what it is, but like, and I don't know if he's like lost to the locker room, but it looks,
yeah,
like the Islanders right now look like the Rangers did last year in the second year of Gallant, where it was just like there's no game plan. Like there's no game plan going into this. It's uninspired. It's just if we win, great. But yeah, I mean, like, even if you like tally up all the goals for and goals against, the Islanders, they've let in 18 goals, they've scored 12 or something like that. So it's like, if you look at that, you're like, okay, you know what? Like, they're at least in these games. Like, but it's like, it's hard to justify in the last 6 games, you've gone 1-4-1. You've amassed out of 12 points a measly 3. So it's like it's insane. I just like it's hard to wrap my head around because we had these conversations like 2 seasons ago in the last Trotz year. The Islanders looked bad because they kind of got shafted because they were running an AHL roster for a couple games, for like 13 games or something. They went on this crazy losing streak. It was a fluky season. It was a fluky season. And it was. And then you were like, you know what? It'll be good next year. And then last year comes around. They fire Trotz, first year Lambert. Things just kind of go the way they do. 4th place finish, first round exit. Okay, this team could probably make a play. Like, they could make a playoff run. They should make a playoff run, especially because it's like you got Palmieri, You got Peugeot a couple years ago. You signed Engvall. You signed Horvat.
Yeah, man.
Lee was around. Barzal was going to be healthy. It was like, you know, Sorokin's in net. The defense looks solid. And Pulak, Pelech. It's like you have these pieces. And it was like, okay, last year it was like we proved that the season before wasn't a fluke.
Yep.
We saw improvement this season. And it's just fallen off completely.
Yeah.
Where I do believe that, like, sure, like, I don't know if the guys just don't take him seriously. I don't know if it's just not working anymore. Like, I don't know. I don't really know what's going on, because it's like, on paper, this team should be playing better. On paper, this team shouldn't be blowing these leads. On paper, these team, like, the Islanders should be in most of these games, especially when you look at, like, how they're losing these games. They are in these games. They're winning these games, and then they're just blowing these leads.
Yeah, that's the worst part, dude. The fact that they're in the lead. Yeah.
It's like you're just kind of left with, like, what is going on the bench when you see these games being blown? Are guys talking to each other? Are they yelling at each other? What's Lane doing? It's like, what is going on? And you're just kind of left saying, like, I don't know. And that's, like, the worst part about it. It's like, there should be answers to this. Like, someone should be taking the responsibility and giving the answers of, like, what's not going right, instead of just being like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's basically all. You hit the nail on the head with all that. I mean, that's basically all Lambert's press conference. He's like, well, I don't know. Like, we should be – and it's true. Like, they should be getting more goals, quite frankly. I think their expected goal four percentage is, like, around 54% right now, and their actual goal four percentage is around 28%. So they're clearly a little snake-bitten, but, like – and I know part of the onus is on the players, obviously, you know. Like we talked about at the beginning, you know, Lee making $7 million. He's looked absolutely terrible this year. I feel bad for the guy. He tore his ACL 2 years ago, but he's so slow. He just doesn't have it anymore for making $7 million for three more years. It's an atrocious contract. Peugeot, $5 million. Good defensive player, but, like, you need a goal every once in a while, man. Engvall, too, you know, he's playing all right, but no goals. It's, I think, like, what you said is so right, because you have an elite goalie in that with Sorokin. Pelech, Dobson, Pulak, Romanov is a perfectly fine top four. And then you have some – you're obviously probably missing that dynamic scorer up front. Shocker. That's kind of what the Islanders have always been missing. But, you know, you got Horvat and Barzal, and then you can hope those – Nelson's a fantastic player. So is Palmieri. I think you have enough pieces to at least scrape by. It's never going to be a prolific offense, but it could be enough to scrape by. I mean, I really do think Lou has constructed – a decent enough roster to make a dent in the standings and, like, be a better team than they're obviously playing. But, like, I think this is a playoff team. It's at least a wild card team, and you see what happens in the playoffs. Or maybe you can even sneak into, like, a three metro spot. Probably not, but, like, a first wild card spot. The team has the talent for it. And I think if you give them a good coach, like, what if you transplant, like, it's obviously total hypothetical because they're obviously never going to leave where they're going to leave. But, like, say you transplant a John Cooper or a Jim Montgomery onto this roster, the Islanders are a good team. I have no doubts about that. So, I hate when, and like I said, some of the onus is on the players. Obviously, they're not playing great right now. I'm always give the team, especially the Islanders, a pretty long leash. And I really can't remember the last time I really wanted a coach gone. Besides, you know, maybe the Wayne and Capuano years were pretty bad. But, like, I'm pretty on the fire Lambert board. I mean, it's just – he just doesn't have it, man. It's just not working.
I was gonna ask, because last week it was kind of left up in the air. You were not on the fire Lambert train yet. And I've been thinking about it. And I'm like – like, does this guy have a job by Thanksgiving? I'm like, the more I'm looking at the stats, the more I'm looking at the way the team's playing, it's hard to justify him having a job. But then it's kind of like, okay, who are you going to bring in? Because it's like, you can bring in
another problem.
like Sutter's not the answer. So you're not going to bring him in. I mean, maybe you bring in Boudreaux.
Yeah. You go wild card, you go Patrick Waugh, go crazy wild card. I don't know. There's really not many options. That's the thing. Especially, like, mid-season, it's so hard to find, which obviously we'll get into a little bit later with the Oilers. But, I mean, hey, I honestly would have told Lambert, you know, fly your ass home. Jay Woodcroft, give me your address. We're sending a Uber XL for you right now. Get to the team plane.
Yeah, man. I don't know what the Islanders do moving forward.
That's the thing, though. Sorry to cut off your thought. It's just like talking about moving forward. Like, what's the easiest answer here? It's to fire the coach. There's no real trade you can make at this point. I think the roster's pretty locked in, and they're obviously not going to fire Juan Morello, which is wouldn't really do much anyway at this stage. So, I mean, if you want to turn this team around, the easiest thing is to fire the coach.
Yeah, I mean, if Lou's going to get canned, it's not going to be until the season ends, and it's going to be like right as the season ends. Like when the season ends, the next day, Lou should pretty much, if he's good, if he's on a hot seat, he should know. Yes, yeah, as soon as tomorrow. But that's the thing. Like the ownership group trusts him, and that's fine. You have to be fine with it at this point because it doesn't seem like he's going anywhere. Unless he retires. So it's like, the easiest bet is fire Lane Lambert, which is probably the right decision. But then, and that's probably why Lane still has a job, because a guy like Lou's like, who am I bringing in? Like, what are my options here? It's like, what do you want us to do? Dude. And you need the Islanders to kind of step things up and kind of have a good back half in November, because as the stats and everything show us, pretty much wherever, if you're not in a playoff spot by the end of November, the stats lean towards you're not making the playoffs. And it's like,
it's not looking good. I mean, they are
they're second to last in the Metro.
They're only 3 points out, like whoopity-doo there. But like, Pittsburgh's on a roll. The team's in the playoffs right now. Boston, Florida, Detroit, Rangers, Hurricanes, Caps, Leafs, Lightning. They're all pretty good teams. And that's also factoring the Penguins and the Devils are currently on the outside, as are the Sabres, who are not great. And Tage Thompson is also out for a significant time now, apparently, according to Elliot Friedman. So, the Islanders have they got too many roadblocks ahead of them. I mean, they got 33 goals for. That's so wildly unacceptable. Like, nobody is even close to them. The Blackhawks have 34. Sorry. I'm not even going to count the Sharks AHL team with 18 goals for. But, like, the Islanders are literally basically dead last in goals for in the league. Minus 11 overall. It's just – I don't know, man. I don't know who they would get, but, like, how bad could a new voice be? And, look, it's easy for me to sit here and say that when the owners obviously have to pay Lambert out, probably like a mil. I think he makes a mil and a half or something around there for the next 2 years. It's not easy. You're throwing away millions. You're changing up a whole system, but, like, if you want this team to be competitive and you want your fans not to boo and your players to give you PR nightmares by telling them to shut up and stay home, yikes. love Cizikas, but, that was the wrong thing to say and double down on. But, they need this team to be competitive because of the new arena. They can't afford to go through a rebuild because they're already not selling out games, which is crazy. I mean, it makes sense. It's not the easiest arena to get to and they're weeknights, but, like, you go through a rebuild, you're going to get it. It's the Islanders, it's going to be sub 10,000 probably. It's a scary thought. And I mean, they're obviously not relocating anywhere now, but like they have to fill the seats or else this thing's not going to be worth it. They poured so much money into the arena. So they got to pull the trigger on something, man.
Yeah. They need to find an answer to a lot of questions sooner rather than later. You would hope they turn it around soon, but with Lambert at the helm, I just don't know. You need them to kind of go on a stretch.
Bro. They just he's got no damn game plan. He what is zero game plan. It's insane. I mean, you're coming up. Go ahead.
It's crazy because it's like this should have been just such a seamless transition. This was Trotz's right-hand guy for so long. It should have been the same system, the same mentality, the same
night and day, dude.
The same voice, and it's just not connecting. It's like I get it. Barry's a different guy, obviously. Yeah. But much different? I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
What? Like, it's blowing my mind. I think another problem the Islanders having right now is they're taking and you've mentioned this on previous podcasts. God. I mean, they're good for at least what, 3 penalties a game?
Inordinate amount of penalties, and they also have like cut short. I think upwards of like 10 power plays now by taking penalties. I mean, that's the thing. That's like, I think I tweeted out. It's, I'm glad you brought that up because I totally forgot about it. This guy's so, you're so tapped into the aisles. It's
hey man, I got nothing else to do.
It's that's the thing. It's like, I can't blame Lampard for that. Like, there are things about
but you also it. Can because it's like it's yeah. a discipline thing at the end of the day.
Yeah, like, bro, if they kept taking these penalties, Barry would have had their heads, man. Like, I don't know, dude. I wish Trotz was here to take this roster because he had what? Like, his first year, his third line was like Komarov, Filppula, and like somebody else. And like, he like made the playoffs as like a Metro OC that year. It's just like, I don't know. They're so undisciplined. You're right. It's, I don't know, dude. They got the Canucks coming up who are red hot, the Kraken who are turning it around, and then the Flames before you come back home to a couple winnable games against the Flyers twice and the Senators. So I don't know, man. I think you got to steal 2 out of 3 here out of the Canucks, Kraken, and Flames before you get home.
I mean, out of those next 6 games, you got to win 4.
Oh, 100%. I think that's the bare minimum.
Like, yeah, 4 is probably like you right the ship at that point. You're right back in it. The fans are starting to buy in a little bit.
A little bit more.
If in the next 6 games, you only win 2, you lose 2, you lose 3, and you go to, and you get an overtime loss. It's like, again, 12 points on the table. We have 5. It's like, Lane, you gotta buy. You gotta go. Like, at that point, it's like, what? We'll figure it out. Like,
yeah,
a player coach if we need to. Like, something else has got to be.
Oh my god! Like, tell Lee to retire. Get behind the bench. Give us 7 mil. I mean, if they go say like ideal world would probably be like 4-1-1. Say they even go 4-2-0. That puts them at 9-8-3. It's not great, but it's like still a salvageable record. But you say
you're over 500 if you're not counting overtime losses at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Or you go 2-3-1, and all of a sudden you're 7-9-4. It's a much bigger hole to climb out of. So I don't know, man. I just
I wish
Lane the best, but
and it's like, you still have the West Coast trip that you got to do. Those are always hard games. You still have the Western Canadian trip that you got to do. Those are always hard games. There's probably going to be a stretch when you're on the road for longer than you'd like to be. Those are always hard games, just on the road going into another arena. So it's kind of like you're looking at it, and it's like it's such an uphill battle to climb right now.
Yeah, they made it hard on themselves. They could have made it much easier if they just kept some leads.
Yeah, you keep some leads, you take less penalties a game, your record's so much different. You're not stressing, so
yeah. It's
crazy, man.
I think the Oilers got here, let me see. Yeah, this is what happened last 1-1 after 1, and then third period comes around, they take a penalty with about 7 minutes in, power play goal, and then I think about 20 seconds later, they take another power play goal. Game's over. 3-1. Like, you're done. I don't know. But
you lost to the team that won the toilet bowl.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think Lambert's an elite number 2 coach, but he's just not it as number 1. So,
well, they lost the toilet bowl. I'm sorry.
I was thinking they won the worst team award. But yeah, I don't know. I guess one coaching candidate out there is Jay Woodcroft, who was unjustly fired by the Oilers. But that gave way to Chris Knobloch, Rangers legend, to get his shot. Former McDavid.
Yeah, I mean, I said it, I think, probably in the offseason or towards the end of last season. I would have liked to see him behind the Rangers bench. It obviously didn't work the way it did. And it's fine because Laviolette looks good right now.
Yeah.
But I kind of like, I knew at some point this would happen, that he's going to, you know, and I joked that he's going to sign somewhere else and they're going to immediately turn around and win the cup. Do I think the Oilers are going to win the cup right now? No, they got a lot of soul searching and culture finding to do right now, but like, yeah, happy for him. You know, sad to see him go, you know, because the Hartford guys really liked him, but you know, well deserved. It was bound to happen at some point, and hopefully, you know, he can help the Oilers maybe figure it out, because it's real bad out there.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. Like you said, I know you're always a big fan. I mean, he was what, he coached that 9-0 game, right, against the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an electric tenure, but I think that's like a good example of just like, look, I think what happened?
We got two plus two is four.
We're in.
We have life.
Oh yeah, you know what? Forget this Creighton game. I'm throwing on this game on ESPN Plus. But yeah, look, I think he's a good coach. He seems like a very nice guy from what I saw in his post game interview when I was wallowing over the Islanders. But that's just a good example of like changing up the voice in the locker room, you know? I guess I would have not fired Woodcroft, but you gotta do what you gotta do, right? So good for Noblock for getting his chance. He seems like a pretty pretty good hockey mind, you know. He coached McDavid and Junior, so and Pelech.
And I think the big thing coming out of Edmonton, like from a fan's perspective right now, is that like a majority of that team are all McDavid guys right now. So yeah. you kind of need to win because I don't want to call him a diva because he's like such a great player, but it's like he's pretty much like brought in all his guys and
yeah,
for somehow it's just still not working. So I don't know what's going on there, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's got Jeff Jackson as the president of hockey ops, and but I don't know. I think the blame is solely on Ken Holland for literally having their top pair of defensemen be Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci. So, you know, you
got what you're making. I don't see a world where he's the GM after this summer.
I can't, especially
the or after the season.
I can't imagine. He's another guy who's been
McDavid to the Rangers. Yeah. Book it.
That would be the actual end of me. That would be the actual.
Yeah.
McDavid's going to go to the Rangers, and like we're going to have like a 41-year-old honestly, like on in a wheelchair on the ice while Lou Lamoureux conducts business from his nursing home. I'm just going to be just so depressed, bro.
He's going to be like, I think his name is Hector Salamanca from Breaking Bad. He's just going to be bell. He's just going to be dinging.
Somebody kill me now, please.
I mean, hey, we're not going to dive into it too much, but he's a free agent in 2 years. Truba's contract is off the books. They'll have a lot of space. The cap's going to go up. It wouldn't be the Rangers if they didn't at least try.
Oh, 100% breakaway for the Coyotes. Oh, great back.
Nah, it didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be a very Rangers move. Would not surprise me whatsoever, unfortunately. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm trying to think of anything else going on around the league, though, unless you had anything else, Isles, Rangers. Try to look at some teams that suck that are not expected, besides the Oilers. Wild, 5-8-2. Uh-oh.
Yeah, they don't look great right now. I don't know what's going on with them.
Except when they play the Islanders. But yeah, not ideal. Huberto getting benched. Goudreau getting benched. That Goudreau contract's looking a little toxic right now. It's not looking too hot over there in Columbus. What the?
Yeah!
The dream is so alive. For everybody, obviously, that is so out of the loop. First of all, beautiful goal. We bet the over in the Stars Coyotes game, and we have such life. We just needed a goal here at the end from the Stars.
Oh my God, dude, come on. What's going to kill us is an empty netter.
Oh, it can't be an empty netter. We need the Stars, man.
The Stars, yeah, we need the Stars.
Line. Look at this beautiful goal. Also, Lawson Krause, nice play.
We're also running low on time because we only have
a few
Zencaster credits left because this is the last episode on Zencaster. So just to run through everything pretty quickly, my legend of the week, Panarin, tied point streak with Gilbert. Congrats to that. Laugh, he's also my legend of the week. Two goals, backhand goal in the shootout. He looks good. He's here. Bomb of the week, the officials at Sunday's game against the Rangers and the Blue Jackets. Secondary bums of the week are the New York Jets. They just continued to bring misery.
Yeah.
They released Michael Carter today, which will only cause more locker room problems.
Did they really?
Do you have any legends or bums? Yeah, they released Michael Carter. They put him on waivers today. The running back, yeah.
Oh, man. That's tough. That's a shame. Good answers, though. My start of the week, Simon Holmstrom. He's like the only bright spot right now. He's an absolute dog. He's going to be a great player. Great PK guy, and he's got some shorthand goals, so you love to see it. And my bum of the week, I think we know who we're going to go for here. That's Lane Lampert. So the only thing I do want to say, very interested, tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Bo Horvat's return to Vancouver. So I'm curious to see how that goes after he said it multiple times. He's like, I really didn't mean it to go over that way, but his comments when he left.
Has he not played there since he got traded?
First game back. So that's going to be very intriguing, to say the least. This game is wild, by the way. Everybody's falling down.
I know. We really need the stars to tap in. Yeah, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google. We're on all that stuff.
All right, Zencaster. Good run.
All right, Zencaster. Last episode.
You know, honestly, I might give a start of the week to Zencaster. You know, we had our trouble. It was a little toxic relationship, but they served us well for 3.5 seasons. So
yeah, we were in an abusive relationship when we were the girl that just kept going back to the guy that everyone told us was bad.
And they got rid of us. Riddle me that. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut off your outro with that, but
no, yeah. Leave us a 5-star rating. Write us a nice review. Follow the podcast on Twitter at From Broad to Bow. We've been tweeting on there pretty frequently. Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Please score! Yes, 3+3 is 6. 3+3 is 6. 3+3 is 6. That's a winner! That's a winner! You're hearing a live winner, folks! You're hearing a live winner, folks! You're hearing a live winner, folks!
There's no way this just happened. 3, dude, that's nuts! That's actually nuts!
What a fucking win. Let's go. Also, shout out to me, legend of the week. I don't think I cursed more than like a few times this episode. Yeah. So growth there, dude.
Well, yeah, that was honestly a leap from you. The fact that happened live on the pod is so electric.
Oh, man. What a way to end our tenure on Zencaster with a little win.
Oh, Tyler Sagan.
3+3 is 7. Come on.
I wish I had more money in my account than $5 to bet on that one. But a win is a win. We will take it.
A win is a win is a win. Ice people, rise. Kevin, you got anything else?
No, sir. Getting on a good note.
Yes, great note. We'll see you guys next week or whenever. Peace. Dump, 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 dump